Yes, welcome back to the show here on Wednesday's edition of World Football Daily. It was an absolute thriller in the Nou Camp last night between Real Madrid and Barcelona. Madrid out on top comfortably and plenty to talk about after the game. And I'm delighted now to be able to sit down and be joined on the line by Lee Roden, Talk Sport journalist, joining us here today on World Football Daily to talk about everything that went on last night in the Camp Nou. Lee, how you doing, mate?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Very well, man. We were entertained by a magnificent Madrid performance last night, but again, disappointed by Barca. Seemingly they haven't learnt from that Milan loss and the sketchy win on the weekend.
Yeah, it was a very flat display, I thought. And actually, it's been in keeping with, like you said, like the Milan display. Like the form recently, really, since Tito Villanova has had to leave the team on a fairly full-time basis to take his treatment in New York. I think what was most disappointing was also the lack of solutions that Jordi Roura seemed to display. It was quite evident early on, I mean, after the first goal went in, and particularly after the second, that something needed to change, but there wasn't really anything new on show, which is worrying, I think, if you're a Barcelona fan, knowing that they need to, well, realistically, they need to score, what, 3 or 4 goals to get through against Milan when that tie comes in. So, yeah, I think that was the most disappointing aspect. One of the best pieces of analysis, actually, that I've seen about the game and Barcelona's lack of ability to turn things around was from a guy called Martí Peronau, who's probably, I think, pound for pound, one of the best analysts in Spain. And he said, in the past, Guardiola's Barcelona side, when they were at their best, when they conceded a goal, when they kicked off, he used to give the ball to Xavi and he used to say, right, go on, organise us. Now, when they concede the ball, they give the ball to Messi and say, go on, save us. You know, there's no structure to it. It's almost like we'll get the ball to our number 10 and he'll do all the work for us. And it's just not working for them.
Do you think that's a sign of complacency in a side that has kind of won almost everything there is to win at the moment?
I'm not sure it's complacency. I think maybe what it is it's perhaps only now do we appreciate just how important Pep Guardiola was to this team. I mean, even when Tito Villanova was there, when he was well and when he was working full-time with them, I was at the Clásico, the League Clásico at the Camp Nou last year. And when I was watching that game, when Real Madrid equalised, it got to 2-2, he had a chance then to bring on David Villa, I thought. And, you know, it's a kind of substitution that was typical of Pep Guardiola. He would see something, he'd seen an opportunity, and he would take advantage of it, find a solution for a problem, and throw him on. And instead, he brought on Alex Song, and it just suggested to me that there's something in the management in this team now that's just not quite what it was before. I mean, it's all fair and well saying you just put a bunch of good players together and they're going to win things, but we all know that's not the case. I wouldn't say it's complacency on part of the players. I think it's perhaps more to do with the people who are behind the scenes operating things rather than the guys on the pitch. That being said, I do think there's obvious cases, for example, Gerard Piqué, who now just seems to have lost maybe half a yard of pace in those one-on-ones against Cristiano Ronaldo, whereas before he used to excel. We saw that in Ronaldo's first year in Madrid. We saw it in the Champions League final in Rome. Now he just seems to get turned inside out, and it's often horrific. So I think that's definitely an issue.
You mentioned, Lee, the fact they don't look to Xavi to organise things when they go a goal down. Instead, they look to Messi to save them. But even when it was all level pegging, there was still no pace and very little structure to their build-up. What do you make? Because a couple of years back, this was the fastest two-touch passing side in the world.
Well, actually, I'm not sure I agree with that. I thought the first 10 minutes before the goal went in, Barcelona actually started the game better than they started Clásicos for a long time. I thought there was a little bit more energy to them. You know, they're moving the ball a little bit quicker than they have been lately, but almost as soon as the goal went in, it kind of killed it. And it was a bit like a role reversal, actually. What tended to happen in the past was that they would start very slowly, Madrid would score, and then all of a sudden, bang, something would click in their head and things would change. I don't know. I know that certainly they're far more direct this season, which means they don't really control games in the way that they used to. But also, it's quite a good point, I think, about the way that they're pressing off the ball. Has changed as well. Whereas before, they used to be close together. The players were always positioned relatively close together so that when they won the ball, there was someone near them they could get the ball to. Now that they're more direct and a bit more open, they win the ball and there's no one there. So they can't execute those quick passing triangles that they used to before. Inevitably, it just means they lose it and they leave spaces as well for teams to counter-attack into, or intelligent teams to counter-attack into, like Real Madrid. So I think that's also something that's dramatically shaped them, is the way that their pressing game has changed and the way that they've become far more vertical, the phrase is in Spanish, just getting the ball back to front as quickly as possible without any real science behind it in comparison to years gone by.
Without being too critical, because obviously he's done a phenomenal job with Barca in his first league campaign as a manager, but is there a problem then with the style that Tito Villanova's bringing in? Or is it that Tito's not around at the moment to make these changes that need to be made?
Well, that's a difficulty, isn't it? Because obviously, given that he's not there, it's hard to really assess it. What I would say is I think the gap between Real Madrid and Barcelona in the league is perhaps slightly exaggerated because of how badly Madrid played this season at times. Perhaps Barcelona would be still ahead of them if Madrid had played up to standard, but I'm not so sure it would be as huge. I mean, we know that Madrid last season were just relentless. They were an incredible beast to watch at their best, and this season in general they haven't been that, and because of that they've dropped points. So I wonder if that has maybe made us shape our opinions of Villanova's Barca rather than the football that they're actually displaying. The fact that they concede so many goals with such regularity was always kind of worrying, I think. So I think that aspect of it has to criticise. Another thing that I think is amazingly obvious, but yet seems not to be addressed, when he signed Jordi Alba at the start of the season, immediately I thought to myself, well, Alves and Alba, that sounds like a great set of attacking fullbacks, but how are you going to compensate for that on a defensive basis? And there doesn't seem to have been any attempt to do so. It just seems like, well, we'll play the way we always do and we'll be fine. And then as a result, you see things like last night when Ronaldo gets into one-on-ones with Piqué quite regularly. There's no fullback there. The ball comes in down the Barcelona's left channel and Jordi Alba's nowhere near it to help him out. Likewise, when Puyol was exposed against Di Maria, granted it's a hell of a pass from Sami Khedira, if he meant it, Dani Alves is nowhere to be seen. In the past, you would have Eric Abidal, who I think is actually one of the guys that isn't spoken of often enough about how much Barcelona really miss him. He was excellent in his discipline positionally and staying back to help him out and particularly stopping those kind of one-on-one situations from happening. And also was a really useful option for him in centre-back as well when Piqué in particular wasn't really quite up to standard. So I think those are all factors in it. But I think, like I said, it's difficult to draw conclusions fully because Villanova isn't there. But I don't think even when he was there, they've really been the same team that they were before. And the comparison I would make is, if you remember the 3-1 victory Barcelona took at the Bernabeu at the start of Guardiola's last season in charge, it was the first Clásico in the league. After the first goal went in, Barcelona dominated that game. They were interchanging positions, they were passing the ball around in the way only they really can. And I don't think that Tito Villanova's Barca side have ever really touched that level. And perhaps because Pep Guardiola's side suffered so many bad injuries in his last season, our opinion of that season is not quite as high as it would have been had it not been that way. And yeah, I'm just not convinced that they're quite up to that standard. However, that being said, there's still a strong leg in the Champions League to go. And if they go and turn that round, if they go and do what they've never done before, I believe, in the Champions League and turn around a 2-goal deficit, then, you know, we'll all be saying that they're amazing and Villanova's Barca are as good as Guardiola's perhaps, but who knows?
It's going to be a very difficult one to judge if they do that turn that around against AC Milan. We can talk about how maybe off and how poor to an extent Barcelona were last night, but so much credit to Real Madrid and Jose Mourinho. How much is this going to please Mourinho if it is his last Clásico in the Camp Nou, especially after what happened in his first one, losing 5-0 at the Camp Nou?
Well, I think you can get an answer to that question directly. I don't know if you've seen the photo during the rounds today of the Madrid technical staff in the locker room last night, holding up three fingers. You know, it's Aitor Karanka holding up three fingers towards the camera and smiling, which of course reflects back on the famous manita, or the five fingers that Gerard Piqué and Cole held up after they delivered that beating on Mourinho. So I think that answers your question in itself. You know, he's extremely pleased, and chances are now they won't be meeting each other in the Champions League, so it very well could be his last Clásico at the Camp Nou. So you'll be incredibly thrilled with that. And I also think that something that's not talked about often enough is that, for me, the reason that Mourinho is so personally determined to get the one over in Barca is because he feels like a guy who was spurned by them in the first place. He wanted that job. You know, it's a place he worked for between 1996 and 2000 as a translator and then as a coach of the B team and occasionally the first team in some cup games. He was desperate to get that job, but for him it was like a full circle part of his career. And when he didn't, it almost feels like since then he's been determined to prove them wrong. So he'll be thrilled that he's been able to do it on a place where he used to stand on the sideline and think, God, I'd like to coach here one day.
I mean, that was always, to some of us, seemed like one of his drives for taking the Madrid job, to take on Barca. How much peace will he be able to leave this job now? If he, say, draws against them or obviously hopefully beats them on the weekend coming in the El Clasico in the league, but to then have his last one potentially, I mean, will this kind of be a bit of peace to his own personal mind now for Mourinho?
I think it will be. I think it will send me. It'll be interesting to see actually the weekend whether he does feel a week inside or not. I'm not 100% convinced he will, because I always think if you've got a winning team, then it's not a good idea to disrupt a winning team. So, you know, there's a notion that he's going to go out and play at the Real Madrid B team and not really bother about the result. But I'm not convinced that a guy like Mourinho, who, like I said, has this personal vendetta almost with Barcelona, will do that. I think he'll go out there and maybe he'll try and stifle them. And if he takes a draw, that's even better. But he's not going to make life easy for them at all, I don't think. I think he'll be pretty content. Whether, for us on the outside, neutrals looking at that, whether you say that's the most important thing or not is different. It's one thing to rank up personal achievements. It's another to do things with the teams. And undoubtedly, the biggest thing that Mourinho needs to do this year is take the Champions League with Madrid, not just beat Barcelona.
But it's a fantastic win to have going into the big game this weekend, and of course Manchester United next week as well. And this is Madrid kind of reaching their peak of their form this season at the ideal time for this Manchester United game coming up.
Yeah, he'll be thrilled with that. I think one thing that Graeme Hunter had said, which was very astute, is that in the last, I think, 20 minutes of the return leg of the Manchester United game, Madrid looked tired, and there was a sense that Ferguson smelled that and wanted to maybe perhaps go for the jugular. And this game last night, I didn't think at any point looked tired, and maybe that's perhaps down at Barcelona as well, but also they were, you know, far more reminiscent of the Real Madrid side that we saw last year. And yeah, that must be surely what every Madridista wants to hear, that their team's hitting the kind of form that they know they can hit right on time for the biggest game of the season, which undoubtedly is this Champions League game. And don't be fooled, you know, the Copa del Rey, as great a tournament as it is, and as much as I'm sure Jose Mourinho enjoyed winning it and would enjoy winning it again, like I said, the big one is the Champions League, and his team are just going at the top gear right on time. Although it'll be interesting to see whether they can sustain it. Also, I mean, it's probably too early to really say whether they're back, you know, in capital letters, or whether this is something to do with motivating themselves for Barcelona, being as it is his last game. Who knows? We'll see.
How important has Rafael Varane become in this Madrid back four already? When you compare it to someone like Pepe, who can be considered maybe a bit more of a liability, at just 19, he looks unbelievably composed.
That's the thing that really impressed me most about him, and I was talking to some colleagues about this, and they agreed, is his time and his decision-making. For someone of his age, it's like you say, it's night and day in comparison to Pepe. Pepe's a good defender, there's no two ways about that, but sometimes, you know, as they say in Spain, there's almost like a short circuit in his head goes, and he just makes a decision. You think, you know, why did you do that? You don't need to do that. He's athletic enough, and he's quick enough to the ball that he doesn't need to make these kind of rash tackles. Varane, just, it's amazing how composed he looks in one-on-ones with guys like Lionel Messi and Cesc Fabregas, who have cut up plenty of defenders with twice as much experience as him. And he just looks not bothered about it at all. I think he staked a big claim for himself now, surely, I think, to play the return leg of the Champions League game, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. I certainly hope it does, because I think he's just an extremely complete and excellent defender to watch, really.
How important as well last night was it that Higuain, although, you know, both he and Benzema haven't been especially good this season, Higuain actually put on a reasonable performance last night, and it meant that there wasn't a weak link across the park at all in Real Madrid's performance yesterday.
Yeah, I think that is the one area that they've really lacked this season, is in the number nine. I mean, last season, both he and Benzema were hitting pretty respectable figures by anybody's standard, and this year, as you say, they both haven't been so well. There's been talk maybe of him carrying a bit too much weight. I thought Higuain against Deportivo at the weekend was also very good. Last night he was good again, so yeah, that's important for Mourinho, because it gives him a focal point in the middle as well as just Ronaldo. And the thing I like the most about Higuain is perhaps he's not as good in the link-up play as Benzema is. You know, you saw, I think he had a really, really poor cross-field ball yesterday aimed at Ronaldo. But he's a finisher, that's what he does. And finishers need confidence, and now he started hitting the back of the net again right on time. So that'll be a really useful thing for Madrid, I think.
It will be very useful indeed going into this weekend's Big El Clasico in the Bernabeu. Lee, just before you go then, so you don't expect there to be too much of a change for either side going into this, apart from Valdez coming back in for Pinto?
Yeah, well, I think Madrid maybe will change a couple, but I certainly don't think you'll see the swathe of changes that everyone seems to think is a shoo-in. I'm not so sure you'll want to disrupt the momentum of his team in that manner. For Barcelona, I think the difficulty in saying this is we've been saying this for quite some time, but I think David Villa surely deserves his chance in the team now. We saw yesterday what I thought was particularly curious was that Cesc Fabregas was playing in an advanced role, pretty much exactly in the kind of role that David Villa is asked to play. He was asked to cut inside and occasionally try and get into the box and get on something. You saw with that chance he got at the edge of the area that he spurned. That's the kind of positions you want someone like David Villa in. So if I was Jordi Roura and Tito Villanova, who I know was speaking to Sandro Rosell today, I believe, I would be thinking, OK, come on, guys, now's the time to give this guy his opportunity and see what he does. So I think we hopefully should see him. There's also talk, perhaps, of Christian Tello, although I'm not convinced that. I'm not sure Barcelona are convinced that Christian Tello is a player to start games quite yet. I think they see him as more of an impact player off the bench who has a couple of very good tools in his arsenal, but once they're sort of figured out by the opposition, then he becomes pretty much redundant. So whether we see him start or not, I don't know. But it'd be interesting to see David Villa. Certainly be interesting to see if they start Alexis Sanchez, who was left out last night, amazingly, from even the bench, as a purely technical decision, not through injury. So those are the three sort of players that perhaps could feature that didn't. But other than that, I think it'll be mostly the same.
And it's an all-Madrid Copa del Rey final you're predicting then?
What's that, sorry?
An all-Madrid Copa del Rey final as well, with Atletico getting through tonight.
Yeah, well, I'm presuming that Atletico will get through tonight. I think they'll need to score tonight. I think they probably will. I suspect it'll be a typically organised, bullish and somewhat awkward to watch Diego Simeone Atletico Madrid performance, probably, just to get the result. The all-Madrid final, on paper, it's great because this is the finest Atletico side we've seen for a long time, but we all know what the record is. So in a way, that's a little bit of a dampener, I think. But then again, if there's any Atletico side that can turn around and do it differently and get a result against Real Madrid, it's probably Simeone. So let's see. Let's wait and find out.
Let's hope that it's going to prove to be a thriller. Of course, Atletico have to get past Sevilla tonight. Lee, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today, mate. We'll let you get back inside and get back into the warm, even though you claim the Scottish blood's helping you.
Excellent. Thanks so much. It was great speaking to you guys.
And you, mate. Have a fantastic afternoon. Lee Roden there joining us here on Wednesday's edition of World Football Daily, talking about the El Clasico in the Copa del Rey last night. Real Madrid trouncing Barcelona in the Camp Nou 3-1. And you just saw how much that meant to Jose Mourinho last night. We've been talking about that for the last few weeks now, and how much Mourinho wants to be kind of get back at Barca for rejecting him, and it does show that there is a personal thing between Mourinho and Barca on nights like last night. And of course, we remember the face he had on him when they lost 5-0 in that first El Clasico of his at the Camp Nou 3 years ago. Now, it was a fantastic performance from Real Madrid yesterday evening. Complete, some would say, absolutely ruthless when needed to be. Cristiano Ronaldo, unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable last night, was just everywhere doing everything. We had a couple of people on the Twitter account saying that, you know, they thought it was an easy penalty that Ronaldo got. He got touched, he was sprinting, you know, he's going down that far more surely than the two dives from Pedro and the foul outside the box on Lionel Messi. But Rafa and myself already had a brief discussion about those already today, and it's time to step away now from the Copa del Rey. And time to have a look at a little bit of Liga and Bundesliga football, or should I say the Coupe de France and the Polka Cup, as the German Cup and the French Cups bring their two big rivals together in each country. Marseille against France, and of course, Bayern Munich taking on Borussia Dortmund. Both those games coming up this evening.